Welcome to Middle School Walk and Talk, a podcast series offering heart, hope, and health to members of our middle school communities. Hosts Phil Svegel and Jessica McGuire talk all things self-care, student well-being, school culture, and more. Middle School Walk and Talk is designed to support the concepts found in the successful middle school, This We Believe, and is a production of the Association for Middle Level Education. To learn more, visit amle.org. Today's episode, Emerging AI Trends for the Middle School Educator.
Hi, Jessica. It has been a while since we recorded an episode of the Middle School Walk and Talk. We're just emerging from that time period I call FARCH, when everything is crazy. It also hasn't been very sunny where I am. I'm so glad to see a little sun today. How are things where you are? And maybe tell everyone where you are. And I should say that I am Phyllis Svegel, and I am in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yes. Well, Phyllis, it's good to be back on the Walk and Talk podcast. You're right. We're coming out of the long, cold winter in most places, weather-wise, but also education-wise, right? We're getting down to those last couple months of school, which get busier than ever. Spring is here, and I'm joining from Wyoming, and spring is not here yet, but on the way. And I know in schools everywhere, we're getting to the season where probably we're conducting some testing and major assignments and big performance assessments are becoming due, and kids are getting spring fever, probably some school staff too. I'm so excited about our topic today on the podcast because it's so relevant in every school and in our world as our world begins to change. So I really can't wait to get started and to hear all the good information that our guests are going to share with us today.
And we will be talking about AI, which I'm still trying to wrap my mind around myself. I feel like every time I think I kind of understand what the capabilities are, something else comes out, and it can be kind of overwhelming. So we have some great guests with us today, several guests actually, who will be sharing all of their expertise around AI. And in our pre-talk, we discovered they have all kinds of other hats that they wear too. They're all educators, they're all in school. So I want to welcome all of our guests, and you can start by introducing yourselves and maybe telling us a little bit about your work with AMLE with regards to AI and also your research on AI.
I can go first. My name is Megan Vosk, and I am the chair of the AMLE Teacher Leaders Committee. And we have been in action for the past 3 years, and it's a way for constituents and members of AMLE to get more involved and to have more of a voice in the organization. And I am also teaching currently at Vientiane International School in Laos, and I teach MYP program and English language acquisition grade 7 to 9. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm Joe Pizzo. I teach 7th grade language arts at Black River Middle School. I'm in my 50th year of teaching, and I also teach at Centenary University.
Yeah, hi. My name is Dustin Purdy. I'm a 6th through 12 math teacher with Dwight Global Online School. I'm currently in Hackensack, New Jersey, but my school is based out of New York City. And this is actually my first year with the AMLE Teacher Leader Committee. So this is like my first official act that I'm excited about, and excited to join this wonderful group of educators who are just doing amazing work. So happy to be here.
Hi, my name's Mari Bayor. I'm the 7th grade humanities teacher at Sonoma Country Day School in Santa Rosa, California. And this is my second year with AMLE on the Teacher Leader Committee, and it's been a pretty amazing process. Going to the national convention last year and getting to present was new for me and really exciting. And the articles and things we're doing around AI right now are equally as exciting for me.
Before we jump into AI, can I ask a question? If somebody out there is listening and wants to pursue possibly joining the Teacher Leader Committee, Megan, how would they go about that?
So membership opens once a year. AMLE sends out a form, I think, in January that says want to join our committee. And you just complete the form. It's like, I don't know, maybe 10 questions. And then new members get notified in late February, and then they can start and in March. And it's usually, I think, a 1 year commitment. And then you can decide at the end of the year if you want to recommit. So we've got new members coming in all the time. There's about 20 members in our committee. And it's been amazing getting to work with educators all over the world and get to talk more about our committee's mission is to highlight the needs and priorities of teacher leaders. So we've got people who are heads of department, vice principals, people who work with college programs with incoming teachers, and all sorts of people from different contexts and schools. So we really get to communicate and talk about what's going on in our context.
Thanks.
Well, I have a question that relates more to AI on a broad scale. Since you've been talking to so many middle schools and working with your own, what are you hearing from them about how they're responding to this new challenge? But also, are there any big myths or misconceptions that keep coming up that you find yourself having to debunk?
I think people are just super hungry for information. Like, we gave an end of year survey last December, and that was the top issue that teachers said that they wanted to discuss. So every year we give this, we add a few questions to the AMLE end of year survey. And this year we asked some questions, what are you interested in? And almost everyone said AI. And last year it was not on the agenda at all. Like, nobody wrote about that. People said their most pressing issue was time. So over the span of a year, it's gone from something that nobody's talking about at all to now, like, that's all anyone wants to talk about. And I know at my school, like, we've done like 3 or 4 PDs in the last 2 months alone. Just people want more information about AI. People want to know what to do. It's all coming out so quickly. So I think that the landscape, and like last year at the AMLE conference, nobody spoke about, I think there was no presentations on AI. And this year we're planning our presentations to be on AI. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of submissions for presentations on this topic because it's very, very hot right now.
So it's interesting to me that, well, to me, time and the use of AI and harnessing its power are very related. So how did you find in your research so far that AI is changing the field of middle level education?
I can talk a little bit about some emerging trends. And by the time I finish telling you about them, I'm sure they will already be obsolete. But seriously, there are, like you said, they're moving very quickly. But there are definitely some trends emerging, mostly really a beneficial aspect of AI in education is the personal learning that can occur. So you can use performance data to tailor instruction and content to the individual's needs, which not only saves the teacher time, which is amazing, but it allows so many more opportunities for growth of student skills, which could look anything like from supporting someone who's neurodiverse to a second language learner. And I think that is where teachers really want to focus in that time saving, but you're really tailoring a program to each student.
I actually have a really specific question, and any of you can answer it, but I'm wondering what some of your most practical tips are or applications for using AI. If you are a teacher or a counselor or anybody else in a school system, you've never used AI, you want to stick a toe in the water and maybe make your life a little easier, where would you start? What would you suggest they try?
Yeah, I can kind of answer that. You know, I think from a teacher standpoint, I think AI is a great tool that we can harness to help make our lives easier. And especially when I think of the teacher shortages that are happening and you know, people not wanting to come into the field or teachers leaving, you know, education is a field that where we face a lot of burnout. And so AI can be used to do a lot of the daunting tasks that we're asked to do and make them easy. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, in terms of like grading, AI can help with assisting with grading, writing comments for students when you're thinking about report card grades or responding to emails. You know, I kind of joke, you know, as a teacher, I've always wanted like my own personal assistant to do all of the tasks that we're asked to do, right? There's so many decisions and things that teachers have to do. We want to just get to teaching. And so AI is now our own kind of personal teaching assistant, and we can just use it and harness the power of that to do so many things, you know, and you can use it to help with writing lesson plans and to differentiate information for your students, you know, as well as summarizing information for yourself. But it's just a great tool to take those, you know, administrative tasks that we all have to do and do them pretty efficiently and quickly.
Dustin, I know for me as a counselor, I've occasionally used AI. I'll say, give me a social scenario that involves sticking up for somebody and forces students to really wrestle with some of the challenges that might come up in that scenario. And I'm always amazed that they come up with seven or eight that would have taken me a couple of hours to come up with on my own. I would love to hear from each of you, maybe your personal top strategy for the classroom or for what you've shared with teachers to use in the classroom.
For me, the top thing that I've been using it for, because I'm an English language acquisition teacher, is that it's very, very easy to level text. So I've been using a program called DiffIt. And if I need a reading at a second grade level about the topic of, I don't know, SDG 13, climate action, like I can just type climate action in DiffIt and it gives me like a four paragraph writing that kind of overlays like what is climate action, and then it comes with like multiple choice questions. And I was just looking yesterday, they added a feature where it actually can make slideshow too, so it's just very easy. Like I used to spend a lot of time looking on like Teachers Pay Teachers or like various, you know, I don't know, ESL websites, and now I can kind of just put in exactly what I'm looking for, choose a grade level, and it gives it to me right away. So it's very, very fast at that.
Yeah, and another way I use AI, I have never been one to be good at writing rubrics. And, you know, rubrics are a great tool for students to, you know, when you have an assignment and you show them a rubric and you show them like what is highly effective for this assignment. And then when you give back their assessment grade, they have a nice way to have reflection. But I've never been good at actually creating those rubrics. And I've used a tool called Magic School AI, and it has a rubric generator, which it's amazing. I mean, it can generate a rubric for you in 30 seconds where, you know, that probably would have taken me hours to do just because that's a, you know, something that I've just never been good at writing. So those are wonderful tools. I've also used it to, you know, when I have like a note page or a worksheet, you can upload that to things like quizzes. Quizzes now has an AI generator, or you can take information from like YouTube videos. And you just give it the link and it will literally generate questions from a YouTube video or generate questions to ask students from your notes. And now all of a sudden you have assessment questions that you can easily give to your students just for quick comprehension. And it does it so flawlessly and effortlessly, you know, and if you don't like the questions or you want 10 more questions in about 15 seconds, it will generate 10 more questions for you. So it's just. The power of AI is amazing right now.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add, as a humanities teacher, I'm constantly looking for shorter mentor texts as well, for students to look at, whether it's a grammar skill, whether it's a sentence structure skill, whether it's a content, you know, something we're looking for in the content. I find that AI can so quickly generate a mentor text for students at a grade level that I'm looking for, and even one with the skill I'm looking for and one without the skill I'm looking for. So it's, you know, something that they can go through and work through and find the mistakes or note where, you know, a good example is. So I find like that would take me forever to try and to mimic that in some way. And so I find that really, really useful.
We've talked a lot about teacher tools and saving time using AI and harnessing its power as a teacher. And our students are starting to do that too. Just last week at my school, the eighth graders had a major essay assignment due. And our English language arts teachers use a program, turnitin.com, that students submit their work to, right? And it checks for plagiarism, but also it checks for the use of AI. And I was having a discussion with an eighth grade student in my office who had submitted an assignment that she had used AI to write. And it was striking what she told me. She said, and I believe she had AI generate her essay based on, you know, the description that she put in. And she told me, I originally tried it because I couldn't get started. I wanted an example to look at. And then she said this. I looked at the example it generated and it was just so good. So I just submitted exactly that as my own. And so now we have that struggle that that student went through, right? And we have the teacher saying, hey, this isn't your work. I don't know what you're capable of. How do I score you? And now you're in a bit of trouble because you've submitted something that was none of your own work. So where I think that's a challenge that we face, how we teach our students where and when to use AI tools and how you do that appropriately, and also how we as a school might need to change our policies or practices when we teach students how to use that. Can you talk a little bit about what you've learned from the student realm and also the school realm of changing policies or actions as new tools emerge?
If I may jump in, I think one of the main points that we're addressing is responsibility. And in the context of the challenges students face today, one of them is having the ability to learn from failure. We have so become a society that insulates students against failure that the only thing we look for is success. And it's success almost at all costs. If we begin to implement programs, which I know a lot of us here already do, where a student who fails doesn't necessarily fail because we use it as a teaching moment. And then take that moment and say, okay, here are the things that worked. Here are the things that don't work. How can we now improve it? Then AI is being used as a tool. It's not being used as the destination. And that's, I think, such a key difference, where we're using AI as an aid, as a helper. AI itself will tell you that one of the drawbacks of AI, because I've checked a couple programs and said, okay, what are the benefits of AI? What are the drawbacks of AI? And AI will tell you that creativity is one of the things that's lost when you use AI. Initiative is one of the things that's lost when you use AI. And we as a society need to understand that even the designers of AI, early on, the folks who designed all of the devices out in Silicon Valley would not let their kids use devices because they knew the impact. They knew the different algorithms that were being created. So we really have to put this in a context of, this is something to help us out. And we need to take it with sensibility and sensitivity.
I love that answer, especially since so many of the tweens and teens I work with in private practice will readily admit that not only do they cheat, but everybody cheats. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's AI. It can be any, you know, manifestation of cheating. It can be that somebody gives them the answers to a test that they took earlier in the day. And I think we have to look at two things. One is, what is the underlying reason for the cheating, whether it's AI or something else? So some of this is changing technology, but some of these are age-old issues, you know, initiative, creativity, learning from mistakes. Those are skills that we've been working on forever with kids. How do we use this in a way that allows them to acquire the skill, to use it in a way that's helpful? So I really would love to hear from all of you how it can be used in concrete ways that are appropriate. And also, how do we talk about it with kids? How do we message it so that they really understand the difference between using it as, you know, to help them brainstorm versus copying something whole scale? And also, how do we get to the root of what's getting in the way? Is it perfectionism? Is it that they have no time management skills? So really thinking about it more holistically and on that immediate level, how they can use it.
My students really like some of the AI art programs. So we published an article a couple of weeks or just this week, I think, about using AI for deep learning with students. And I had students that were working on a project about saving penguins, like protecting protecting like ice sheets and stuff. And they were writing a story where this Mother Earth goddess comes down from above and tells the people that they need to work harder to protect the penguins. And the students used AI to kind of help them brainstorm some images. And then they used those images to actually create their own art. So I think that was kind of interesting because, and in the article, you can see the picture, the lead picture is the picture that the students generated using an AI image gen, but then actually what they made for their project was their own work. So they just had used AI to try and get some ideas. We also had students that would just publish some comic books about mythical creatures. And again, we use some AI art image bots for them to kind of come up with their idea for their mythical creature. So they were working on kind of descriptive language. How would they describe the creature that they wanted to create? And then seeing after different iterations, different language that they were using, what were the kinds of creatures coming out? And then they were doing a lot of soliciting feedback from each other. So they would get two images and then they were talking to the other kids like, do you like this one better? Do you like this one better? Why? And so they were really using critical thinking skills to kind of decide more about what was their personal style and what was the kind of creature that they were trying to create to support the text. And they'd written little vignettes about the mythical creature they were creating. So I thought that was a really cool and creative use of AI and with students. Again, you have to be careful because a lot of the image gen is 13 and up. So you really need students in grade 8 or grade 9. Otherwise, it's difficult because then you need parent or parental permission or the teacher needs to create the image for the student. But that's very difficult.
Yeah, just a little bit to chime in on this aspect. I think, you know, we often have a lot of students that struggle with how to start assignments. Because they might not be, you know, the most creative. And so I think AI has that power to help, you know, spark curiosity and creativity for students that don't know how to start. It gives them an entryway, right, to help them brainstorm. And then I think once they get going, you know, kind of building on to what Megan said, I mean, they can just make amazing things, but it's that removing that initial barrier of how do I start? And, you know, how do I, you know, get through this, you know, I can do this. And AI is just a great tool that helps leverage that. I think it just helps build on or spark curiosity for students and creativity. So it's great in that aspect.
If I may add, the special ed students are helped greatly because we can not only show them what a sample essay may look like, and then we can take it apart and not only look at the elements, but critique it. But we can say what important concepts must be put into an essay dealing with at whatever level, and then see what's generated. So there's a starting point. Again, it's a tool. We can't look at it as the final product. Here's my essay. I need an essay on whatever and it has to contain these things. I sit back, it gets generated because accuracy sometimes doesn't work as well. If you ask AI to make a test on a novel, it may have accurate information, but it's coming out of different chapters. And it's not the chapters that are accurate. If you ask if Thomas Edison is dead, well, it may look for Thomas Edison in two streets over who passed away and now is in the obituary. We have to have questioning technique as well. And those are some things that you can work on while you do this. You can do it right with the students. Let's see if we generate this, what happens, what could be a problem? How can we as a group solve a problem, as a lot of us I know already do and have already said?
And I think also, we just need to recognize that our kiddos are going to be using this regardless of whether or not we teach them how to use it and hold their hand through it. And I think, you know, our job is to help them navigate it in an appropriate way. The more we are present with them in that way, I think, you know, and building the relationship of trust in that way, I think that's where we can use this as that tool, as Joe was saying, as opposed to you know, it just being this kind of taboo thing we do outside of the classroom. And I think anytime a teacher asks a student to do anything outside of their own classroom, you're just not guaranteed that it's that student completely doing its work, whether it's gotten edited from a parent or a friend. So I think it's the same type of thing that goes on in both ways.
Yeah, and building on to that answer, you know, as Mari said, listen, students are going to be using it regardless, and they're going to be using it how they learn how to use it. Teachers are at the forefront, so we are the ones that need to be the role models, and we need to model it for them. How do you use it effectively? How do you use it ethically and appropriately? And you know, the fact is that we just need to stress the importance of original thought in the learning process, and then give them authentic learning experiences. And what Joe is saying, you know, we're in a society where we're about an answer, a product, you know, and this idea of making mistakes is bad. You know, we really need to value a growth mindset and value that, you know, the thought is original thought is what's important to the learning process, not just having that output.
Just quickly to build on what Dustin's saying and Mari and everyone, we not only are in that success society, but we have so become narrowed in our definition of what education is and is not. We've lost what's been traditionally education, where it's exploration, it's discovery. Now it's bottom line, it's product. If you go to the business world will tell you that one of their biggest frustrations is that the students we're producing don't have grit. They don't have determination. They don't have the willingness to even stay on a job. They walk off a job without even quitting because they go on to something else. And it's building that personal responsibility and knowing that when you have a tool can be used to build, but can also be used to destroy. You need to know how to build with that tool. And that's what teachers are giving. And just one other thing, a little bit outside the box, we need to value our teachers more in this society. We need to see that we're dealing with something that's impacting the way that our lives are going to be developing and our children's lives are going to be developing. So we need to be side by side with business, side by side with the parents and guardians, side by side with communities, and recognize that we're all in this together. It's not one rank higher than another. It's all of us pulling in the same direction.
I love what Joe just said because we have had three parent workshops already on AI, and it's been full every time. Like the tech leader has offered parent coffee in the morning, and it's more parents than we've ever seen on campus. They are so hungry for information. They want to know what's going on, what's school policy, what are we doing?
I think everyone is teachers, students, parents, family members hungry for information on AI. And I know this conversation was just the tip of the iceberg. To summarize something Joe said a while ago, AI can be a helper and a tool, but not a destination. And I think as we look at that and how do we use it, not as the destination, but the tool, there's just so many emerging questions. And so, for our listeners who want to know more, the Teacher Leader Committee does have an upcoming webinar on AI and how to harness that as an educator. And it's an introductory AI for Educator webinar coming up on April 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And some of our guests today are on that webinar, along with other committee members, giving more information about AI. And if anyone would like to register, they could go to amle.org/AI webinar and register for that April 23rd upcoming session and get even more information and join the conversation around AI in education. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. I have a lot to think about myself as we leave this podcast. And I wrote down a lot of the tools you mentioned as well, because I'm going to go check those out as soon as we log off here. And I'm assuming many of our listeners will be doing that as well. Thank you all for being with us and spending some time this morning talking about this really important issue in education.
Yeah, thank you for having us. This was
Thank
a great
you.
conversation.
It's been a pleasure.
Same, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having us.